It was really like love at first encounter. I had been a PhD in English person once upon a time. And what I like to say is that what I was learning how to do in a PhD program was close reading. I was learning how to like look at text and kind of see subtext, see underneath it, see patterns, that kind of thing. That's what coaching is. It's just with real life people, not characters in a novel. And I fucking love it. It is a joy.
From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Referral Worthy. I am here today with Natalie Miller, who is an intersectional feminist coach for entrepreneurs and the host of the podcast Mind Witchery. Natalie, welcome. Thank you for being here.
I am so honored to be here. Thank you.
Natalie, I don't fuck with a lot of coaches in our space. Like, we only really got to know each other this year, but you're one of the people in kind of our weird little corner of the internet who I'm always hearing good things about, just constantly. Like, everyone who's worked with you loves you. You've worked as a solo coach doing your own thing. You've worked inside programs. So you've really done it all as far as the coaching sphere goes. And I would love to know just like how you got into it, what it is you love about it. Like, tell me everything.
Yeah. Okay. So once upon a time, I owned a yoga studio, a very large, successful yoga studio, but I was bored teaching yoga. So I started doing these programs that I called living yoga, where it was like, we're going to like do yoga, but we're also going to help you create a home practice. So we're going to do yoga, but we're also going to help you like love your body. And very quickly, what I realized, Dusty, is that people would say things like, I don't have time for a morning practice or something like that. And I could see how that was a lie. Of course, they could make time, whatever, right? But I understood that me saying to them, yes, you do, was not going to work. And so I started asking, I was like, where can I learn how to help people see what I now understand, but I didn't at the time? What I now understand are like limiting beliefs or limiting ways of seeing the world. I was like, how does somebody do that? And that's how I came into coaching. And it literally from like the first class in the program that I took, I was like, I found it. This is what I'm here for. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah.
What year did you start?
2015.
Yeah, 2015.
So 9 years ago. And it was really like love at first encounter. I had been a PhD in English person once upon a time. And what I like to say is that what I was learning how to do in a PhD program was close reading. I was learning how to like look at text and kind of see subtext, see underneath it, see patterns, that kind of thing. That's what coaching is. It's just with real life people, not characters in a novel. And I fucking love it. It is a joy.
Oh my God. I love so much about that. First of all, like you not only moving on from one thing you were already excellent at and loved, like you were already a proven business owner. And I feel like that is something that so many people who come into the coaching space lack. Like they think they're just going to be able to jump in and see success. And you could be the best coach in the fucking world. But if you don't know how to sell, if you don't know how to run operationally, like you're going to struggle for a while.
For sure. And very honestly, I think that that whole thing about business building and business having, as you know, it is 75% personal growth journey. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get skills. You got to get like, you know, you have to figure some shit out, but more than anything, you got to learn how to trust yourself. You got to learn how to have hard conversations. You got to learn how to take chances and make mistakes and put yourself out there. So yeah, I think that when coaches don't, especially when people who are purporting to be business coaches, which almost never are they actually coaches. They're doing something else, but they're usually consulting more than or teaching more than coaching.
Right.
But yeah, but for coaches especially, like you have to have already hiked this mountain, been through these swamps. You got to know the territory, your own self, not so that you know what to tell people to do, but so that you understand it, your own self, and you know even just like what to ask and what to look for.
Absolutely. And that's such a great distinction you made between coaching and consulting. And I know lots of people like go back and forth, which is totally acceptable as long as you're forthcoming about it. I know for me, like I really like a combo model. And I especially like when somebody is like, hey, right now I'm going to speak to you from my experience because you're asking for something specific related to marketing. I'm definitely not a coach. That is an area where I'm like, you should talk to somebody else. I'm not your girl. I'm just going to tell you what to do.
Yeah. And there is 100% a time and place to be told what to do and helped through an issue or a problem fully. And there's also places where it is actually more about helping someone figure out what the fuck they actually want. I mean, that is really mostly what I do. I just help people figure out and accept what they actually want, what they actually want to build, who they actually want to serve. That's really what I do.
Oh, I love that so much. And I feel like we share a very similar client demographic in that regard, because so many of the people that you and I both work with are known for something. Like usually they're already making great money. They're already well-known in their space. They've got, you know, the email list, the social media feeds, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, they're starting to feel like limited by that.
Yeah.
I would love to hear for you, because you do work with so many entrepreneurs, what are some of the things that you see them coming up against regularly as they're building their businesses?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I talk to the sort of lay people, the people who aren't entrepreneurs, about what I do, I talk about how, you know, we aren't really out here with MBAs. We are doing what we love in the world. We don't want to work for someone. We want to do our own thing. But we maybe don't necessarily have a lot of schooling, training in business. And what we do have are 11 billion people telling us that they know the perfect way. They know that they have the strategy, the formula, the framework, like they know exactly what we should do. Almost always, probably this is your person, your client also, Dusty. My folks are amazing students. Like they were straight A students. They want to be at the head of the class. And so they will go into a program where they're supposed to learn a model or a framework or something like that. They will end up being the first testimonial on the next sales page because they will do it, even if it's not really a model that resonates with them. Even if it, like, you know, they're like, oh, I need to have a group program, when really all they really want to do is high ticket one-on-one. Or the reverse, maybe someone's telling them what you have to do is high ticket one-on-one, and what they really want to do is like a membership that serves tons and tons of people, right? So I think the main thing that I see people coming up against is this, like, someone else is gonna tell me the right way to do this. And giving themselves permission to make sure that it's the right way for them. I would say that is first and foremost. And then the second thing is that thing you pointed to. I talk about this all the time. The only constant is change. I'm always changing. You're always changing. The world is always changing. Our understanding of what the world needs is always changing. Our interests are changing. Everything's always changing. To allow ourselves to change and to allow our businesses to change, to allow our client we serve to change, to allow the way that we serve them to change. Interestingly, although my clients are always so creative, incredibly creative people, they have a hard time allowing for that change, because change is scary. And especially if you have a business, especially if your business employs people, it's like extra scary. So I would say those
are a lot of weight to carry.
It's a lot of weight to carry. Yeah. And usually what happens is they try to keep going with what's not really alive for them anymore. It works less and less and less and less and less. And then they have to come find me and you. They have to get help figuring out what's next. Yeah.
Back to not square one, but back to kind of throwing some spaghetti at the wall to figure out what that next thing is.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And you know, something I just realized that I'd love to point out here, a common denominator between those two things. We are some version of people pleasers, I think.
That's fair.
And I'm talking about you, me, our clients, because I think we're always a version. I think we're always a version of our client. And it's like, we want to please people. And that's the common denominator between those two things, between not wanting to change a business that's working and between wanting to do the right thing, be a good student of the program, the consultant, whatever, is that all of it is very focused on other people. And so bringing the focus in to our own selves and what we need and what we love and who we are, I think that's really also what a coach can help do.
Oh, I love that so much. Now that you're almost 10 years into coaching as a business, you've mm-hmm. learned so much. Mm-hmm. What do you wish you could go back and tell baby Natalie?
Oh my gosh. Baby Natalie was pretty afraid of trusting that she could make a living coaching. Like, I kept that yoga studio for much longer than I should have, really. I mean,
how long were you doing both?
I was doing both for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
And listen, for the first couple of years, it was smart as fuck, okay? Because right. I was building my practice and I had this other thing going. But I stayed a little longer than I think I should have because I was afraid. It was difficult for me to imagine that I really could make money doing what I love. And I wish right. I could go back and be like, you will make more money doing what you love than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually still have to tell myself that, by the way. Like, that's a regular conversation in my head. Like, remember, it always works this way. When you do what you love, you make the very most money, because it really is how it works for me.
I completely, completely like reflect that experience as well. Like yeah. a couple of years ago, when I made the jump from running a marketing agency to just doing consulting and pulling out all the implementation, I was absolutely terrified that no one would pay me just for like the strategy portion if I wasn't yeah. going to implement it. Even right. though rationally, I'm like, I have so many proven models of marketing consultancies that are super successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, our brains just like, when it's that new thing, it's so terrifying. Even if you're lucky enough to see somebody else doing it, being able to expand that reality for you.
Yeah, no, totally. Right. And if you've got your marketing agency, it is no doubt successful. And so there's also the thing about like, oh, but like, I'll have to tell all these people I'm not going to do this anymore. And like, that really has always been a thing. Like, you know, I've recently shifted that. Now I really only want to work with entrepreneurs and artists, period. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a novelist, an actor, let's do it. Right. But like, people in corporate work, I'm not there anymore. I don't feel energetically connected anymore to that. And that was really hard. It was really hard to say, like, I love you and I got to help you find someone else because, yeah.
And that's such a gift, too, to be able to, like, to be so comfortable with yourself. Also, to have the network to be like, you know what? I appreciate that you came to me for this and that you do, like, implicitly trust that I can help you with this. However, I'm going to point you to this other person that I also trust. I know that it's going to be a better fit for you. That is, I love that feeling.
Yeah, I love it, too. I love it too.
Okay. So back when you were getting started, where did you get your first clients? And if you had to start again today, how would you find those first 10?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would start exactly how I started. When I'm doing some mentoring in my coaching, this is what I'm always doing. Who do you already know that you can help? I already back in the day had yoga students who wanted to do shit with me. And so I was like, want to do this? Want to come on retreats? Want to do this living yoga thing? Hey, now I'm offering one-on-one coaching. Want to try that? Right? I started where I already was. And so, you know, if I've got like a person who has been a financial advisor, but what they want to do is coaching, I'm like, well, you start with the people that you've loved working with in financial advising and you tell them, this is now what I'm doing. This is how I see that I could help you. Want to try? That is, to me, the very best place to start is like, where are you already helping people? Just help them differently.
I love that. That's genius. And that for me is always the most important thing is like, you don't have to go to all the networking events. You don't have to start friending all the randos on Facebook like we did back in like 2017. And I'm still getting rid of folks that I've never had a conversation with from all of that.
Yeah, totally. And I think also, you know, sometimes there's like the friends and family, like, put the word out. I'm available. I don't think that works either. And what it ends up being is just discouraging. Almost no one is doing a wild pivot into new business. Almost always it's like, it's an evolution. And so it's just kind of like, so who are the people you're already helping that you just can like bring with you? Do that. And then do a fucking amazing job and you'll be fine. That's kind of how it works.
Amen. Okay. So how can coaching make small business a referral magnet?
Okay. Here is what I think. What coaching really does is help to make sure that, well, I should say the kind of coaching that I do. It's not all coaching. Coaching is broad and it's like dancing. Lots of ways to dance. There's lots of ways to coach. The kind of coaching that I do makes sure, helps ensure that how you are doing business, what you're doing, and I mean, what you're doing from marketing to delivery to branding, all of it is really aligned with who you are. All the parts of you, no parts of you left behind. You get to be whole. You get to be all of who you are. You get to be doing what you want. You get to be imperfect. You get to be growing. You get to be figuring it out, all of that. What I think happens when someone is being themselves in their business and becoming themselves, right? When their business has room for them to experiment and evolve, they are in fuller integrity, and integrity is magnetic. People feel it. It's the best compliment I get. People are like, I see that you walk your talk. I see that you do what you say. And that always makes me feel so amazing because I do try to do that and it's not easy. So yeah, Dusty, I think for me, it's a vibes thing. It's an energetic thing. You'll become referral worthy because you are in full integrity, because you are being who you want to be and you're doing what you want to do. And, you know, when we think about that, almost even think about like a singer who you can just tell they fucking love it. And then a singer who's on tour, maybe they're doing a Vegas thing because they just need the money and they'll play the old song that you love and whatever, right? You can feel the difference. You can feel the difference in those people. And yeah, I think that for me is how coaching makes you referral worthy. It makes you more potent and brings you into integrity with yourself.
I know that there are just like a ton of people listening who just had like a full body sigh of relief. Like you said earlier, starting your own business is so confronting. Like there's so much that you can't look away from anymore. And to have somebody who is your partner in making sure that not only are you seeing the blind spots, but helping you gradually work through that. For all of the qualms and conversations that I've had about the coaching industry, I do fundamentally feel like I'm hypercritical because I've benefited so much from so many great coaches over the years and them being in integrity and them caring so much. Mm-hmm. And it can just cause so much damage because that space is so intimate when somebody isn't there and not in their integrity.
100%. Yeah. What would you say? Like, how has coaching made your business referral worthy? I'm curious.
Oh, that's such a great question. I would say that coaching has helped me make the biggest leaps. I consider myself to be really self-aware. And that's always been part of how I've been so good at marketing. Because like you alluded to earlier, I'm completely self-taught. I have never taken a single business course traditionally ever. Mm-hmm. And I started as a copywriter in the space. And really what my secret sauce was being able to connect with people like this. And I was so like traumatized growing up that it really took therapy and coaching mm-hmm. for me to be able to confront some of those things in a way that like where I was able to start making those leaps and still feel safe, like in my body, in my mind, in my space, in my digital space. And it took, I mean, it took a really long time. I really don't feel like I hit my stride until like 29, 30. I'm 36 now. So, I mean, I've been in online business for coming up on 12 years here, and you can see the way that my business revenue is reflected in my personal growth.
Yeah.
And like, and on the one hand, I'm like, oh God, if I would have been able to afford the coaching I wanted earlier on, I would be so much further along than I am right now. And like right now I'm in my first coaching container in like, since like 2019. And I'm so picky and I am so like, ah, like, is it going to be worth it? But I know it always is when I find that right person. And it's one of those things where like, I mean, the difference between like me and January 1st of this year and me at like July 1st this year, like, I know I'm going to be a case study already. And I'm so okay with that because I know that that means my revenue is going to double. I feel like having someone there to help guide that process. And also, even as like self-aware as I can be, like, I need somebody else who can see when I'm like intellectualizing things away, because I can, and I will see the problem before, you know, before they get there, but that doesn't mean I'm solving it or actually fucking with the limiting belief there. That's probably the biggest thing.
I love that. I mean, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but also it's fucking lonely. It's like, it's lonely to be, I mean, we can have our biz besties and all of that kind of thing, but it's like, sometimes you just, you want someone to get in it with you and be like, okay, I have to talk to this assistant. I have like, I have to have a hard conversation and I really don't want to, or, okay, I have to hire some more help, but I'm really scared. Or, okay, I don't know if I should cancel this program or run it because it didn't get the enrollment. It's like to have someone else come into, I don't know, like for some reason I've kept seeing a hot tub. Like, get in with me and can we talk this through, right? I was hearing that there too, is just like, yeah, I don't have to do this all by myself. I can actually, I can have someone who can help me look at it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you so much for asking that. Natalie, last question. What makes a business referral worthy to you?
You know, I think for me, the authenticity thing, which is, I don't know, so many words are like, they don't have the punch that I want them to have. Authenticity is one of those. I feel like it's kind of overused and whatever. But what I mean by authenticity is like, if I'm going to refer someone, I don't have to think that they have it all figured out. I don't have to think that like the service is perfect every time. I have to believe that they care. And I have to believe that they're like growth oriented. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something about when people are just fucking real, when they are not pretending, when they're like, yeah, I'm still figuring it out. I think that for me is always a really great sign. I get very sus when someone's like, oh, I've got it perfected. I'm like, but everything's always changing. So what are you doing about that? You know?
Right.
So yeah. So there's something about authenticity that's really important to me. And then just that piece about integrity, about like, do you do what you tell people to do? Are you a person who will admit that you don't have all the answers, or that you don't, you're not the right fit for everyone? That kind of integrity, and where I kind of see that, yes, I can see what their values are, and I can see that they're living their values. That's really important to me too. And then of course, excellence. It's like, and for me, excellence, I think almost always just really comes down to caring. Do you really care? If you really care, then that is, again, for me, a really great sign. Because I don't think that every consultant works for every client. I don't think that every coach works for every client. Just like you and I might not even like the same restaurants or the same hotels or the same facialists or the same massage therapist. We all have our different preferences, and those relationships are all co-creative. So for me, it's kind of less about, does everyone love you? Does everyone have an amazing experience? And it's just more like, do I believe you are who you say you are? Do I see that you are who you say you are? That's what's most important to me.
Amazing. Natalie, where is the best place for folks who want to learn more about you to find you?
Oh, well, since you like listening to podcasts, come listen to my podcast. Come listen to Mind Witchery. I talk about all kinds of things. Someday Dusty will be there. If she says yes to an invitation, she'll come.
Yes. And
we'll talk about we'll talk about some fun witchy business. So come over there. See what speaks to you. And that would be a great place to get to know me better.
All right. And that link is going to be right below this episode in the show notes. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Is your business referral worthy? Take the quiz at thereinvention.co/quiz to find out and get specific, actionable tips to take your business from best kept secret to book solid. Thanks for listening to Referral Worthy. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.